Something for the weekend on Saturday, and we're thrilled to have Denise O'Connor, architect, back in studio. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Trina.
Denise is from Optimise Home. They're architects and interior designers. And I was just saying to you, Denise, is that your house on YouTube? And it is. Oh my God. You've done a couple of videos online there, and yeah, your house is stunning.
Thank you so much. No, we're delighted with it. We don't know ourselves. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason you're in as well is because you're going to be at the self-build event on this weekend, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on. But if you're somebody who is thinking about doing some building work at home, maybe you're thinking about adding on an extension or doing an attic conversion or even just knocking down a couple of walls, where do you start, Denise?
Well, I think the first thing to start with is to really think about the project you're planning. So what you want to do is have a really good concrete plan in place so that you don't kind of just jump in. Because I think what I see a lot at the moment in particular is people feel really under pressure to do some work. So they might start talking to, let's say, a kitchen person or a builder, but they haven't fully fleshed out what they're trying to do. And what you end up doing then is starting before you're ready, probably spending too much money, being pressured into making decisions. So it's better just to pause a little bit, take stock and make a really, really good plan.
Yeah, because a friend of mine recently had a builder out and they were kind of saying, oh, maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. No kind of real plan in place. And they were saying, well, this builder is going to be available in November, so we need to get him. And everyone's kind of saying, now, hang on, hold your horses. This is going to be a lot of money. You need to have a plan.
Oh, definitely. And like, you know, it can be really tempting just to jump in like that. Like you're saying, at the moment, builders, tradespeople are so busy. So they, you know, they're sort of saying, look, this is the only slot I have available. But unless you know what you want to do, it is definitely either you're not going to be happy with the work, it's going to take much longer than you planned, and you'll end up spending way more money. So it's much better to pause, let that tradesperson go. You will find other people to do the job.
Okay. So the first step, do you think it should be going to an architect?
Yeah, well, I would. It just depends on the scale of work that you want to do. So let's say it's a bathroom refurb. Like some of the showrooms have fabulous in-store support that'll be able to help you with your layouts. Like these people are really experienced in the products, and be really upfront with them about your budget and stuff, so they'll be able to guide you. Then if it's a slightly bigger project, I definitely would suggest trying to get some sort of architectural or design support, because that way you're going to get impartial advice. You know, so for people who are in their homes all the time, it's really hard to see past how you're using your home day to day. So just to have those fresh pair of eyes can be invaluable. And most architects or designers will have different pricing options that you can avail of. So whether it's a one-hour consultation, something like our Optimise Home service, which is a starter design service, or other packages that might make it a little bit more affordable for people.
Okay, so what do you get then with that?
So with our Optimise Home service, what we do is we take a very detailed brief of what you want to do with your home. We meet you in your home, which helps us to build up a really good picture about you, your family, how you want to live. Then we will do a survey and we put together layout options, draw everything in 3D, which makes it much easier for people to visualize. We will go through what the budget you would typically need would be. So that's really important. Like we're going to draw something that's within your budget. And then either we can help you further, or at that point, we can give you names of tradespeople, suppliers, basically arm you with all the tools to take the project further yourself.
Okay, so you have a team of people that you trust and would recommend. I think that's the hardest decision for people as well, is choosing a builder, because you hear of all the stories of the rogue builders and the guy turned up and he ran off with my money, or else he built the wall and next thing it's leaking or there's problems with it and he's nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and that is such a worry. And unfortunately, as you know, the industry is booming, more and more of these, in inverted commas, cowboy builders are popping up. And it is, you know, it's as an architect, it's really upsetting for me to go and hear these stories. You know, people who've been let down by builders, let down by tradespeople. So that's why it is so important to get a recommendation. And, you know, if it's something that you're embarking on yourself, get references, try and speak to previous clients. If possible, go and see their work before you commit.
Now, you mentioned there about meeting the clients and asking them about their needs and how their family works and that. I would say there's an awful lot of people that are needing things like playrooms and homework areas and things that years ago, I suppose, we used to just do it at the kitchen table.
Yeah, like it's really interesting to see how houses have evolved even since I set up 12 years ago. You know, I mean, massive, massive shift. And I think one of the major things is, even the TV, you know, so that used to be the focal point, the most prominent thing in the room. And now because people have mobile devices, laptops, iPads, that's what they're watching telly on, it's less important. And then putting importance on creating lots of flexible areas. So like you're saying, space to do homework, or maybe it's working from home, but then that space can adapt. And maybe it is the dining table, or maybe it's, you know, just a little corner in a living space and stuff. So just thinking about how you can multi-purpose rooms is really important for people.
Do you think that laundry rooms are needed?
I think a space to store, dry and put everything that goes with laundry is really, really important. I remember years ago before I did up my own house, you know, we used to have the clothes horse one place. I actually used to keep the ironing board in my son's wardrobe. You know, the ironing was kept somewhere else. Like, it was literally all over the house. And we had a small box room, which was kind of redundant because I'd had the baby in there and moved him out. So what I did was turn that into the laundry room. So literally just put in IKEA wardrobes and the ironing board, the clothes horse, the ironing basket, the laundry baskets, everything went in there, and it transformed the house because it freed up so much space.
Is your washing machine upstairs in your box room?
No, so the washing machine we kept downstairs, but literally all the laundry, that's where the ironing was done. That's where the kids could put their laundry, you know, the dirty clothes. And it meant that they actually did do that because it was easy for them to do it.
Beside their bedrooms and that. Is your washing machine then in part of the kitchen, or is it in?
Yeah, so the washing machine then was in a little tiny little space.
So that frees up, because I always think, you know, a lot of people seem to have the laundry room. It's kind of the back room at the back of the house, and you're almost ruining your view of your garden with the laundry room.
Yeah, no, well, it's true. And it's really interesting. We do a lot of work for new developments as well, show houses and stuff. And we were just chatting to a couple of first time buyers, and there were two options in one estate, one where the utility was blocking the view at the back, and the other which didn't have a utility room at all. And most of the first time buyers were going with the one that had the view. So sacrificing the utility space. So I think it is. It just depends on the location.
Yeah, I do think when it's at the back, I think it's an awful waste, of the view of your garden. Just getting back to the builders then, getting quotes and that. How do you know what to expect and when you're being ripped off, or do you?
Well, the best thing you can possibly do is get a number of quotes. So we would always suggest a minimum of three. Now, it's kind of mad to go out to too many, and builders won't like that either if they feel they're just, you know, one of a huge amount of builders. So three is a good number. That way then at least you've got something to compare against. Like, there are rules of thumb, you know, for new build, €2,000 a square meter is kind of a good number to go with. Where it gets really tricky to calculate is if you're refurbishing an existing house. So, you know, you can imagine that a kind of a newish house isn't going to cost an awful lot of money, but something like an old period property might cost thousands. So it really depends on the condition of the house and the scale of the work that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Does that price include all the bits and bobs, or just the actual build?
So that price includes the builder's work. It will include electrics, plumbing, all that kind of stuff, but it won't include windows, which are a significant cost. And then it won't include anything that you'd have to choose yourself. So things like kitchens, bathrooms, tiling, any feature lighting, that sort of thing. Mm.
And do you find some people will want to keep the existing kitchen, or they'll want to keep the existing windows and maybe reuse them? Or is that kind of a bad idea?
Yeah, well, it just depends. Like, it's funny, I wrote an article just in last week's Irish Times, and it was all about what to keep and what to let go. And I think, you know, my advice would be, if it's over 10 years old, you probably should consider replacing it. You see, things like flooring, for example, it can actually be as costly to get it sanded and restained as it is to replace. And the thing to bear in mind is it's never going to be perfect. So if you think you're going to get this perfect new floor, it won't be. So it's just to kind of manage expectations a little bit there.
Mm-hmm. Do budgets go over a lot?
I think they do, yeah, of course. But I think it comes down to proper planning at the beginning. And what my advice would always be, have everything picked and if possible ordered before your builder starts on site. So that way then you know, you've all your decisions made. You're not going to get into a situation where you have to sort of panic buy, and you can control the costs. And as long as you're not making changes once the builder starts, you should have a fair idea of what that cost is going to be.
Mm-hmm. But you would maybe have a contingency in the event of, we see it all the time, the telly on Dermot Bannon's Room to Improve and all this, where they suddenly go over, not just his show, but all kinds of refurbishment shows. What's that one on Channel 4 as well? Grand Designs. They normally go over by about 100%.
No, it is heart-stopping, and I know from personal experience, once you start on site, it is that feeling of the money just starts to disappear, you know. So having that peace of mind, A, fixing the price with the builder to begin with, and B, picking everything and pricing it. We do have, we've written a post online which is breaks down the budget just to help people a little bit. Because it is quite interesting, like let's say you have, we'll take an imaginary budget of 100,000. 45,000 of that is what you're going to spend with the builder. The rest is going to go on things like fees on your kitchen, fittings, things like that. You know, planning, there are fees associated with that if you need it. So it's just interesting to see, because we get a lot of calls where people say I have 100,000 to spend, but actually they only really have 45,000 to spend on the build.
Okay, okay. The other question I want to ask you is about planning permission. So what, in what scenarios do you need planning permission?
You need planning permission if you're building anything larger than 40 square metres to the rear of the house. If you're going out to the side over ground floor, converting your garage where you're sort of changing the front of the house, any changes really to the front of the house, you are allowed a porch, but only under 2 square metres. So there's a little rule of thumb that basically if you can see it from the front of the house, you need planning.
Okay, and if you're doing something that's 39 square metres at the back of the house, do you need to tell the neighbours?
Well, you don't need planning. But I think just, you know, you're going to have to live beside these people. So it is really important just to be courteous, I suppose, and have a chat with them and just make them feel like they're being listened to. They really can't do very much, you know, if you don't need planning for it, you are fully entitled to build that. But, you know, just to be a good neighbour, I would suggest having a nice chat with them.
Yeah.
Because it is disruptive. You know, living next door to building works and stuff like that is really disruptive.
It can be disruptive. But the other thing is, I suppose you could block their light if you put on something at the back.
Yeah, well, you know, in some cases it can. There are height restrictions to what you can do and stuff like that. But as long as you're underneath your or within the planning exemption, it should be fine. And I think most people, you know, most people eventually plan to do something to their home. So I'm sure if they haven't already extended, they probably plan to do so in the future. Otherwise, they probably will have done work, so that usually people are pretty understanding.
Okay, so just tell them, be all excited and hope they won't want to burst your bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you come across clients, Denise, that have maybe done a build, they've gone ahead, they've raced ahead because they had this guy who was available and they had the money there, yeah, and they wanted to get going on it? And a lot of people can do that even in the run up to Christmas if they see a gap there and they go, do you know what, I could have this done in time. Yeah. Where they've gone ahead with the build and then they've regretted it later because they maybe haven't planned it or used an architect.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, when I first set up in business, I started to get calls from lots of people who were in exactly that situation. So, you know, they'd decided not to work with an architect or designer to save money, had gone ahead with the builder and just weren't happy with the end result. And that is actually what spurred me to create Optimize Home, because I kind of thought to myself, wouldn't it be amazing if people could get great architectural advice at an affordable fee? You know, so advice that would help them kind of turn their house into a home. So that's what spurred Optimize Home.
Mm-hmm. And do you need to get drawings from an architect to tell a builder what to do? Or are a lot of builders just kind of working from their head?
Well, you see, it's, unless it's drawn and there's a proper plan with measurements and stuff like that, he's making assumptions. So now there are some amazing builders out there that are just fantastic. You know, I mean, they're really, really good. They're really practical and they're great. Others really do need a concrete plan. So, you know, unless you've got something drawn, it's very hard for you to go back then and say, that isn't what I wanted, because what have you got to base it on? So, you know, if you want to be really clear, it's much better to have a drawing. It also means that the builder is going to find it much easier to price for what you want. So the more information you can give the builder, the better understanding you're going to have of the budget. And then, you know, you'll have a much better understanding. And so will the builder of what you want the house to look like.
Are there any grants or anything available at the moment for people thinking about doing a big renovation?
There are, so there's lots of grants you can get on the SEIA. There's lots of really good information there. So that's really worth looking into. That's around things like insulation for your boilers and stuff. Your builder will need to be registered. So again, really important that you speak to the builder in advance of that.
Okay, and you need to get a sign-off certificate, don't you, at the end?
Yes, so you'll need to get a certificate that says that what you did complies with building regulations. And then even if you don't need planning, you'll need a cert saying that the work's did or didn't need planning.
Basically. Okay, and who gives that?
Usually the architect if you're working with them, but if you don't work with an architect, somebody like a structural engineer can do it for you as well.
Okay, so yeah. Bear that in mind, because you need all that if you're even going to sell your house, don't
you?
That's
right. No, it's important to have. Yeah, they're important documents.
Speaking of selling your house, I know anybody who's buying a house now has to have the BER energy rating done as well. Would you say if you are going to get work done, you'd be looking into a lot of energy saving things in the house?
Yeah, well, it's really, I mean, it's wonderful at the moment because it's so much easier to get those products and to get information about it. Most of the building regs now mean that any work you do will be super insulated. So that's really, really good. Things like replacing your windows going to make a massive difference. Even like your heating controls and things like that can make a massive difference to the house. So yeah, it's great.
Okay. And also just Denise, things like moving boilers, is that a massive job or do you think it's worth doing?
It just depends where the location of the boiler is. Like anything, you know, what we tell people is anything is possible. There's just different cost implications. So, you know, it depends where the location of the boiler is. The same thing goes for anything structural. You know, you can do it. It just means more money usually if it's bigger steels and things like that.
Okay, okay. So you're going to be there at the self-build event. I know you've done loads of these before and it's a great place for people to go along and get loads of information all on the one day. It's on all weekend at the City West Conference Centre in Dublin this weekend, but I know it's going to be on in Cork, Mill Street in Cork, on the 9th and the 10th of November, and then at the TEC in Belfast next February. God, I can't believe we're even talking about February, 21st to the 23rd of February 2020. But if anyone is interested in speaking to you directly, Denise, or to get some interior design help, which is it makes such a difference to a home, doesn't it, when you get the interiors right as well, how can we get in touch with you?
So we are, Optimise Home website is optimisehome.com. We also on Instagram at Optimise Home. So there's a lot of interaction on Instagram. And then, as you said, Trina, all the team will be at the show. Our stand is C16.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out. Thanks so much, Denise. And by the way, have a look at her house on YouTube. It's fabulous. This is Something for the Weekend on Classic Hits.